Well, good morning, and it's so great to be a virtual guest in your home today. I, along with Robin, my husband, and our daughter Abby, who is working in Luton, send our love and blessings to each of you. Let's pray. Lord God, as we come to your word and think about how it might be applied to our lives at this time, would you help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see, minds to understand, and hearts to respond to you this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today marks us picking up our journey in our series looking at why we should bother with spiritual disciplines. Before Lent, Alex introduced us to a very simple yet profound idea that spiritual disciplines can help us with our love lives. Not so much a physical love life, but our spiritual one, helping us to see these different disciplines as a way of falling more madly and deeply in love with God. So what of our topic today? Sabbath. I don't know if you'd agree with me that for many, if not all of the things and liberties that we take for granted have been changed in the last 5 weeks or so, and rightly so, as each of us who are not key workers are playing our part in supporting the government's plea of staying home to protect the NHS and save lives. If we are key workers, then our lives too have changed, with the focus on playing our part in helping to fight COVID-19 through so many different ways, many highlighted in the prayer list circulated recently of people within our church family, at our two churches and wider parish, who are maintaining local essential services, caring for the sick, the dying and the bereaved, all to help people stay at home, to protect the NHS and to save lives. In these times of staying at home and trying to keep busy physically, mentally, emotionally and spiritually to reduce the monotony of one day merging into the next, or being on the front line, or maintaining our local essential services, and having to work your absolute socks off physically, mentally, emotionally and spiritually, I wonder whether the Sabbath might have a renewed, fresh or even new meaning for each of us, whichever group we are in. Perhaps you're sitting here in this moment feeling confused about this whole Sabbath thing, maybe wanting to ask me, Fiona, we're in lockdown, stopping just about everything non-critical, and you're asking me to stop? Don't you know what I'm trying to juggle at the moment? I haven't got time to do another thing. Are you mad? Perhaps I am, but will you just hear me out just for a moment? I agree with you that our current times are indeed confusing, but do you know something? This isn't the first time that humanity has got confused about things, and Sabbath in particular. Our New Testament reading today tells of the confusion about the Sabbath. Let's take a brief look and find out more. So this passage of sacred writings of Luke's Gospel tell how Jesus pointed out the Pharisees' confusion on this topic. The Pharisees at this point in future, in time, in history, had made all sorts of rules around the practice of resting or Sabbath. That's right, these people came up with 39 ways to correctly do nothing. So when they saw that Jesus' disciples were rubbing grain in their hands on a Sabbath, they panicked. You're breaking the rules. You're not resting correctly. Sounds laughable, but this scene wasn't a joke to anyone in it. These men were angry with Jesus because in his act of rest, he was openly defying their power and their position. And then when we move on to the narrative from inside the temple, well, that was enough for them to see really red. This is exactly what Jesus meant to do, because he wanted to make something clear, that he, not they, was Lord of the Sabbath. Ironically, the Pharisees sought to obey God's rules for rest without letting him be the Lord of that rest. Rest matters to God. Why do I say that? Well, that's where our first reading from Genesis comes to the fore. In verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. This helps us to see that having created everything, God had created too. So coming back to the narrative in Luke and our reaction to it, it would be easy for us to simply nod along while Jesus rebukes the Pharisees, because we would never make the mistake of taking the Sabbath too seriously. But maybe that's because we don't take rest seriously at all. It's easy to raise our eyebrows at their panic over rubbing some husks, while being blind to the fact that we're just as wrong in our Sabbath ignoring as they were in their Sabbath policing. Notice that in his answer, Jesus neither accepted their version of Sabbath rest, nor did he say that there was no such thing as Sabbath rest. This therefore helps us to see that Sabbath, resting, is something we are called to engage with. But how? Do we just stop? Or is there something more to it? What might be at the centre of Sabbath that we might adopt this as a discipline for ourselves? Let's take another look at the passage from Genesis where God himself models an answer for us. Yes, God stopped, he rested, but what did he do immediately before he did that? In verse 31 of chapter 1, we read, God saw all that he made, and it was very good. So he looked at everything that he had created, and that is explained in the preceding 30 verses of Genesis 1. And it was very good. This was the fullness of God. We can only imagine or gain a glimpse of what that might have felt like. But I wonder whether we can recall how we felt last Sunday, Easter Sunday, with the realisation and sense of joy that Jesus, who had been crucified, was not in the tomb, dead and buried, but was risen from the dead. And as Alex spoke last week, has victory over our past, our present and our future. How did that make you feel? Joyful, elated, humbled, at peace, excited? Awestruck, restored, renewed, accepted, loved, cherished. I could go on and on and on. This and these are the emotions that we are called to experience in our Sabbath, by making the Lord of our Sabbath. Making time for fellowship with God, whether we are stay-at-home people or key worker people, during this pandemic. So what might Sabbath, your time of resting or not doing, look like? I want to suggest a few things, many of which are based on one of two excellent books I've read recently on this particular topic. One by Adam Mabey entitled The Art of Rest, Faith to Hit Pause in a World That Never Stops. He suggests a number of things, of which I want to reference just three. So firstly, rest. You need rest, literal physical rest, potentially being more relevant for those who are key workers. So take a nap, sleep in, or just go to bed early. In fact, A good nap of even just 20 minutes can be an act of faith in God's providence. That's what seemed to be for David when he wrote, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." And that's from Psalm 4. So have you ever given yourself time to think? A reflection fosters a heart of gratitude of what God has done and enables us to trust what God will do. One way to reflect is to use an ancient yet relevant way to reflect on each day, seeing where you have felt and known God's presence, both near and far from you. There's a resource attached to Alex's email that was developed as part of my training that you may find helpful in developing a daily time of reflection and deep sense of God's presence. And how about recreation? This provides relief from toil by doing something fun. That word literally means to make anew. So holy rest should do that for us, refreshing us enough to get back to work, because God is a hilarious God, life-filled, joyful God, and he helps us see good fun. He loves us having fun. So what are some of the ways in which you can do that during this time? So there's a whole host of things you could explore further about this topic, as really we've only just touched the tip of the iceberg this morning. So I'd encourage you to check out the two books referenced in Alex's email, as they both highlight further ways to practice Sabbath, and one way is to read or listen to books. And these books may, I believe, help you and I to fellowship with God, to see and revel in his fullness, helping you and I to fall more madly in love with God, just doing that so that we can find our way through these confusing times, but not just through these confusing times, but maybe longer, to be able to help people see and experience those words of the Queen talking about being together again. I wonder what might happen if we, both as individuals and as a church, were to use this time of continued lockdown to fall more madly in love with God through the discipline of Sabbath, so that by being so fully satisfied in God, we model, share, and declare that when the lockdown is lifted. We share that with our family, our friends, and those who we rub shoulders with each and every day, who maybe haven't seen us during this time of lockdown, and that maybe they would long to know that Sabbath rest and what that can truly mean for them.